Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Together, we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show, midweek edition, Wednesday, May 4th, 2022. Tom, I know you haven't looked at the paper this morning, but my friend Tim Steller of the Arizona Daily Star had an interesting column about what we talked about here on the air the day after that weird, freaky 100-degree five-minute session.
During the noon hour, it popped up and went away.
12:55, you know, we had it like 100 degrees for like 2 minutes or something. But anyway, Tim mentions that we talked about that here on the show in the column. And kudos to Tim, though, because the Weather Service says, yeah, it's really a weird happening, but they're not going to change anything. I mean, it's going into the books that way, but it's very weird.
They could call it the Peekaboo 100.
Yeah, one really odd thing, Tom, that at the weather recording station at Davis-Monthan Air Force Base, it was like 93 or something, 7 degrees cooler. I know.
Well, and we go back to my theory about the hot exhaust from a jet engine.
Well, that's actually mentioned in the article, so it's a good read, so you might want to check it out.
I will do that.
We're broadcasting from the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio, our radio station, 1030. Tucson's voice for trusted news talk worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. Our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, the Ward 6 Tucson City Councilman, Democrat Steve Kasachek, is with us on the live line. Steve, did you see Tim's column this morning?
I did, and he also said that you're a bit of a meteorological buff yourself.
I am. I kind of follow
it. What's the history of that?
Yeah, I don't know. Just always been interested in weather.
Well, the five minute 100-degree heat wave.
Yeah, the 5 minutes, and the odd thing is that it may not hit 100 here for getting a little more close to normal. And I think the average is sometime in mid-May, but it was just a weird happening. Steve,
I was disappointed to also hear yesterday some news or weathercaster said that May is predicted to be the driest month so far of the year.
Wow.
And oh my gosh.
You know, we've had about a half an inch of rain. It's just crazy, and we're hoping we'll get a real robust monsoon. But look what's going on up in Flagstaff. They've had a big fire in New Mexico, having huge problems. I looked at your regular monthly newsletter, and your lead story is something that I've wondered about. This free fares, not charging people to ride on our buses. This was instituted early in the pandemic. And I never really thought about it, but there's a kind of a downside to this free fare. Go ahead and explain what this is all about.
Well, we instituted a free fare policy on our transit system, in my opinion, for all the right reasons. You know, people were out of work and, you know, the whole COVID drill. And so we wanted we were using FTA dollars to offset the loss of fare box revenue. We generate roughly $9 million a year in fare box when we're collecting fares. So having the FTA money available and seeing that people were out of work, struggling to get by and all that, we instituted a free fare policy, and I supported it. Now fast forward to now, when we do not have the FTA money available any longer, what we have learned and what we're seeing is that we're losing ridership for some pretty troubling reasons. And I've spoken to the management over at SunTran about this. I've spoken to some drivers, and we are losing both riders and drivers. The reason is because we're having fights. We're having people acting out on some of the buses. We're seeing people with serious mental illnesses get on the buses and act out throughout the and just use the bus as sort of a place to crash and hang out and ride for the whole route. What I've proposed is, look, let's recognize the fact that there are some people who absolutely need the assistance, and let's not pretend that that group does not any longer exist, and let's take care of them. On the other hand, there are people who can afford to pay. And before the pandemic, we were making some pretty good progress in establishing what we called our frequent transit network. It's the bus lines that were having 10-minute lead times, so you didn't have to wait any longer than 10 minutes for a bus. And we were expanding that frequent transit network. The fact is that costs money. You're increasing the headways, and the operating costs go up and all that. We're also, speaking of operating costs, everybody knows what's going on with the price of fuel, and so that's an added cost. So every single cost item under the umbrella of operating a bus system is going up, and my effort in trying to get the city council and the mayor to agree to reinstitute some form of fare so that we can recapture some of that $9 million that we're losing. Can we get half of it? Maybe we can get half of it. Maybe we can get a third of it. But, $3 million is $3 million, and let's use it. We certainly have the needs. More importantly than that, though, is that we put into place some sort of a system on the bus that's, security system, and also to simply put in, whether it's tokens or a punch card or something that's made available to the people who absolutely need the free fares to get on the bus, that the guys and women who are getting on and simply acting out are not going to avail themselves of and recapture some of the riders that we're losing right now. And we call them discretionary riders. We call them choice riders. We call them people who had an option and they were choosing the bus because we were making it convenient. It was clean. It was safe. And we're losing that, Bill. And we're also losing some of the riders. And we get the calls here at the office of the people who needed the bus and need the bus to get to a, minimum wage job.
Yeah.
Working at a grocery store or whatever it is. Mm. And some of them simply don't feel safe getting on the bus any longer. So right now the response from the rest of the council and the mayor is, no, we want to keep it free. And my answer to them is, then you're tanking the system. And I also think it's a bad look. While we're out asking people to support an extension of our half-cent sales tax, to say we've got some portion of $9 million that we can simply leave laying on the table. And I think it's a bad look, and it's bad for the system.
Yeah, we had Mr. Credio, the new transportation director, and he was on the show last week, Steve Kasachek, and we were talking a little bit about transit, and he was all excited about the electric, electric buses. But still, this is very troubling that just people are hopping on board and they're just riding along for the whole way, right?
We got a letter from the Teamsters Union just a couple of days ago, and the letter outlined data of the number of fights they've had, the number of altercations between passengers, the number of people who've had to be thrown off bus. They're having an increase in industrial compensation costs from injuries suffered by employees, Suntran employees. We have to make, if we want people who have an option to get on the bus, whether they have to pay a buck and a half or whatever it is or not, we have to make it safe and we have to make it clean. And that's our obligation as operators of the system. And if it's simply, if we're making it free for all, we're creating a free for all. And that's not fair to the riders who need the bus to get on to get to work.
Are you bringing this up at the next meeting?
I've brought it up two consecutive meetings, and the first time Lane Santa Cruz said, well, parks are free, therefore buses should be free. And yesterday she said roads are free, and therefore buses are free. Well, in fact, parks aren't free. Go try and use a Ramada, rent a Ramada, rent the Demeester Center, get involved in some of our activity classes. They all have a fee because it costs money to operate them. And if roads were free, we wouldn't be asking for the half-cent sales tax extension. Roads cost money to maintain, too. So I don't get the notion that we are simply going to reject on a philosophical basis the idea that those people who can afford to invest and support the transit system should be doing so. That's not everybody, but it's certainly somebody.
All right, we're going to pause right here. I bet you could go for something from Mona's right about now, Steve Kasacek.
Absolutely. I'm a fan of their apple turnovers and their cherry turnovers. I know they don't call them turnovers, but I'm not a Danish speaker, but that's what they look like. And so if it looks like a duck and tastes like a duck, I'm going to say it's a turnover.
Well, I'm a huge fan of, right now, I'm a huge fan of their carrot cake, and I'm also a huge fan of their bear claws. Of course, their signature pastry is the Danish Kringle. They're open right now for lunch. They open at breakfast time at 6:30 Tuesday through Sunday. They are now closing on Monday. Steve and the team certainly deserve at least the one day off. Their website is monasdanishbakery.com. Check it out. Again, open right now, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. We've got a lot more to talk about with Steve Kasacek, Tucson City Councilman, after we take the break. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. To prepare for ongoing project delivery, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for a new draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, our midweek edition, the first week of the merry month of May. All right, our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go back on the live line to Tucson City Councilman Steve Kasacek. The voting is underway right now on the Proposition 411, about a $740 million issue, a voting issue that is for street repair and safety upgrades. The votes, this is an all mail-in election, Steve Kasachek. So what's the deadline to get the ballot in the mail?
Well, first of all, before I forget, on the Mona's thing, I have to wish my mother-in-law a happy 101st birthday.
Wow.
This Saturday.
Wow.
And we'll be getting her a Kringle as well.
So
it's going to turn into a little bit of a
big milestone there. Big milestone.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. The ballots are out. You should have one in the mail if you're a voter in the city of Tucson. This is not a county election. It's simply a city election. There will be polling places open, one per ward, on election day, and people can go to the city clerk's website and find where those will be. The one for the Midtown area will be at Randolph Park in the Parks Administration Building. May 17th is the election day. People should get their ballots into the mail a week ahead of time if they're going to make sure that they're going to be counted. This is a big deal to the city of Tucson. We have right now Prop 101, which is an existing half-cent sales tax. It expires on June 30th of this year. That half-cent is not earmarked as heavily skewed towards road repair as Prop 411 will be. Prop 411 will dedicate 80% of the money for road repair. That'll figure to be about $60 million a year. And the other 20% will go to road safety elements. And that will be things such as lighting, speed bumps, hawk lights, the kinds of elements that make pedestrian safety a more viable goal here in the city of Tucson. And we did talk about this yesterday at the council meeting in terms of becoming a Vision Zero city. That is a vision of having zero traffic fatalities in a calendar year. It's aspirational. Obviously, we're always going to have the drunk at 3 a.m. step out in front of somebody in dark and dark on Broadway but unavoidable accidents. But for us to be able to put into place safety elements such as the ones I described, that's $15 million a year for 10 years. It's $150 million we'll be able to put towards that effort if 411 passes. So I'm hoping people support it. I think it's a good mix of dollars, 80% for road reconstruction. It's a 10-year extension, not just five. I would have preferred it to be in perpetuity because I don't think it's realistic for us to assume that even in 10 years we will have fixed all of our roads and they're good to go, because frankly what we fix tomorrow is going to need to have pavement management in seven to 10 years anyway. So, but it is a 10-year half cent sales tax, and May 17th, but you should have your ballot, and I hope people check the yes box.
What's going on with those 5G towers? Do you have any updates for our listeners?
The 5G towers right now, we have a utility manual in place. AT&T and Verizon are the prime movers right now. They are required to do a few things now that they were not before the utility manual went into place. The two most important are, number one, a very robust public outreach before a site is selected, so that the public have an opportunity to go in and explore the area that are being considered and propose alternatives. The second piece that's most important is that they cannot put a pole up that's within 150 feet of an existing pole, whether that's a street sign or a stoplight or a TEP electric pole, without being able to justify the inability to co-locate. And, Bill, I'll say that the utility manual has been a success since it was implemented, since it went into effect, I think it was October of last year, because every single new permit request that we've gotten from Verizon or AT&T to put a 5G tower in has been a co-location. And before we had the utility manual in place, virtually none of them were. So we forced their feet to the fire, and what we have learned is that they could have been doing this all along. They just had to be forced into it. And sorry to say, but we are where we are now, and we have a good functional relationship with both of the prime movers in this thing, and we're looking forward to the public engagement that they're frankly required to engage in now.
And then there were these giant power poles that TEP was going to run and perhaps will still run these high voltage overhead transmission lines through much of central Tucson. That was put on hold back in February, but by the end of May here, there's going to be a decision on whether they're going to go ahead with these.
Well, they're going to go ahead with it. The question now is what process they're going to have to use in order to identify the route. We are right now engaging in what's called a special exception process. Prior to us pushing in this direction, the utility was simply doing public outreach and saying, TEP will select a route, we'll present it to our preferred route to the Arizona Corporation Commission, and they will approve, one of the routes that we proposed to them. The problem that we had was that the routes that they were suggesting were coming right up Midtown in what are either our scenic or our gateway corridors, and one of them being Campbell Kino and right past the university and some well-established historic neighborhoods. And so what we are saying to TEP is that before you run off to the Corporation Commission and get your approval, we're going to make you go through what's called a special exception process. A part of that is a very public neighborhood meeting, then a zoning examiner meeting, then approval by the mayor and council. The reason we want them to do that is because we have ordinances in place, and if they're going to mean something, then we have to force them through this process so that there is a public engagement process that they have to go through, as opposed to simply running off to the Corporation Commission and asking the ACC to do the approval. Now, what we're getting back from the public is a little bit of pushback saying that you simply have to disallow them to go up the gateway corridors. The reality is that we have to strike a balance. If we make the conditions for going down our corridors so restrictive that TEP can never under any circumstances win a variance request, then they're simply going to turn either to the legislature or the Corporation Commission and say that we are making their proposal unfeasible, and they'll either get a legislative change or the Corporation Commission will simply come in and trump our local ordinance. So we're trying to be reasonable. We're trying to say, look, there will be areas along our gateway corridors where it is reasonable to go overground. For instance, at the Union Pacific Railroad, why would we want to force them to go underground under some railroad tracks when it's already an industrial area? So what we're trying to do is find that sweet spot in the middle where there's a public conversation where I'm hoping we can come to some reasonable compromise, so identifying areas where they can go overground and where they need to go underground to respect the aesthetics of the areas. And I think we'll get there. As is typical, people started out at extreme ends of the spectrum, TEP saying we'll do what we want and get the Corporation Commission will decide. Residents saying, no, it's a gateway, you can't go overground anywhere. Neither of those are reasonable positions, and what we're trying to do right now is find that reasonable compromise. I think we'll get there.
Before we let you go, when you took office in 2009, there was a $40 million deficit for the city of Tucson. We have a reserve right now. Are we in pretty good shape?
Yeah, we are, but with an asterisk. And the reason we're in pretty good shape is because we've had the luxury for the last 2 years of relying on some pretty significant federal dollars. There were CARES money, there was ARPA money, and that's going to run out. And so the decisions that we make, such as whether or not we institute a fare on our transit system, the decisions we make right now have got to be made with the realization that the gravy train's ending, and we're back having to be stand on our own 2 feet, and not with the federal backstop that we've enjoyed throughout the course of the pandemic. And so we right now have a healthy reserve, but who knows what's going to happen to the economy? We all see what's happening in Ukraine. We see what's happening with the stock market, the price of fuel because of the war that's going on. Nobody has the crystal ball to be able to say in 6 or 8 months or 6 or 8 weeks we know what's going to be happening with the economy. So it's what is really kind of an odd head scratcher is that when we're facing a $40 million deficit, our decisions are actually easier than they are when we're facing a $40 million surplus, because now we have to be counting our pennies from the standpoint of saying we don't know what's coming around the corner, and so we better not be spending like a drunken sailor, or we're going to be we could be slapped in the face with some pretty hefty deficits again. So that's the challenge, and I think we're up to it.
All right, Steve Kasacek, always a pleasure. We will talk to you in early June. We'll see what happens with Prop 411. We'll know by then. And I will have been back from Hawaii by that time, celebrating our big wedding anniversary. So,
which one is it, Bill?
Pardon me?
Which anniversary?
Oh, my wife will kill me
We'll just
say it's a milestone.
All right. Okay. Fair enough.
All right.
I'm trusting that you know the actual number, though.
I do know the actual number. Okay. Actually, May 5th tomorrow. It's actually the anniversary of our first date at a place called the Iron Mask, which is now the Kingfisher. Yep. So we'll celebrate Saturday night. I hope to see people over at the Kingfisher. Thank you, Steve. Okay.
Right, take care of yourself.
All right. We'll be back. Juan Siskamani is next.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana. Plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com. This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
All right, welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Green Things, our favorite go-to nursery. You know, when the weather is beautiful like we're getting today, the winds are, you know, past us hopefully for a while. When you're around 90 degrees, people are thinking about beautiful gardening, what they'd like, some things that are going to survive up until, I hope, a very robust summer rainy season. Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. It's a 13-acre site chock full of beautiful plants. So check it out, greenthingsaz.com. In their 51st year of business, they're open daily, and they also have some beautiful merchandise from Mexico, Latin America, and Europe as part of their business called Zocalo Village. Let's welcome now to the program Juan Siscomani. Juan is a Republican running in Arizona's newly carved out 6th congressional district. The district includes areas of Cochise, Graham, Greenlee, Pima, and Pinal counties, as well as a portion of the Arizona-Mexico border. Juan, how are you?
I'm doing great, Bill. Thanks for having me on.
Well, we talked with you shortly after you had made your announcement that you were going to be running. Juan, I think a lot of people have no idea what their district looks like right now after the whole redistricting process.
Yeah.
So this is, you're running in district number 6, which is previously number 2.
Previously was number 2. The lines in the Tucson area changed a bit. The district goes now, it starts further east, but it also gets carved into the Marana area as well. So the district goes as far north as Marana, also goes up to Casa Grande, and then it follows the 10, basically. Eloy, Arizona City, all the way through. It includes Saddlebrook, Oro Valley area, all the way up to Safford and basically all of Greenlee County. You're right, it's got 5 counties. It went from 2 to 5 counties. And that includes most of Cochise County, except more of the Bisbee-Douglas area that was carved into Raul Grijalva's district. So, and then you still have Vail and Green Valley area, a portion of Sahuarita. So it's the geography of the district expanded quite a bit.
Tell our listeners, give us the 30-second pitch about who Juan Siscomani is.
Great. Well, I'm a dad of 6. That's the first thing people have to know. I'm raising my 6 kids here in the district. I grew up in this district. My first job was at the Wendy's on Broadway and Cole. If you can spot that, that's where I worked in high school. I paid through my college by working in maintenance over at Pima Community College, and I went to Pima, then to U of A. Then I worked at the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, and now I work for the state of Arizona. Governor Ducey appointed me to be the head of the Arizona-Mexico Commission, and that's what I've done in my career. Now, family-wise, my family came from northern Mexico. I'm a first-generation American, and I'm living the American dream, Bill. I am, and so are my parents. My dad is a bus driver for SunTran. I know you were talking about
busing. We were just talking with Steve Kasachek about SunTran.
Yeah.
And this whole thing about whether or not they should go back to actually charging those that can pay some money for riding.
Well, let me tell
bus.
You, these drivers worked through the pandemic. My dad showed up to work every day in spite of everything being shut down and things being free and all that that chaos that you describe in the bus. My dad would talk about that. He's a man that has been getting up to work early in the morning since I can remember. Since I can remember, he's been doing this job. And right before I launched my campaign, he pulled me aside and he said, Juan, where else could we have our story? He said, we come to this country, immerse ourselves into the culture, learn English, become U.S. citizens. He said, I drive a bus my whole life, and now my son has a shot at becoming a member of the United States Congress. He said, where else in the world? And I remember I was just looking at him, and he said, nowhere else. This is America. This is the American dream. So you have someone that has been in this, you know, working class family that I grew up in, and my parents feel and know that they're living the American dream. And so am I. In my fight in Congress, my fight to get in spite of having 6 kids and having a busy life, I'm a football coach. My wife is a soccer coach. We want to make sure that the American dream is there available for my kids the same way it has been for you and for me as well.
And even you and with these commitments to the family, you would plan on trying to come back to the district as often as possible.
My family would stay here. The plan right now is.
But you would try to get back.
I would go back and forth. I would be the one commuting, spending the majority of my time here.
Right.
Now, we need to be efficient there, do their job. But I'm looking forward every. Actually, Laura my wife, you know, jokes that she's like, you're going to have to sleep in your office because I want to make it very uncomfortable. So you have to come back home as soon as you can every week. That's the plan, to stay here and be here as much as possible.
So you're in, there'll be four other candidates, it looks like, on the Republican primary ballot. Around the country, it's almost been like in the Republican primaries, who is the most, or who has the Trump loyalty? Who's the Trump candidate? Is Arizona a little different, do you think?
Well, I definitely want to have everyone's support. Okay. We're a campaign that we want to make sure that we stick on the issues of border security. That is the top one right now. The economy and inflation, which is soaring and just not going in the right direction. Our job is to stick to the issues and remind people that we have a border crisis that wasn't there 2 years ago. We have an inflation problem that wasn't there just a short while ago. So the point of our race is to really speak to people that are living life the same way that I am, you know, on a fixed budget, and they are raising a family and they're being impacted by both security issues and inflation and economy issues. And that's where we come in. Our district, as you know, is now leans Republican. We have about three points, so not heavy. And then we have a good number of Democrats following, and then almost a third also being independents. So this is a district where you could argue that it's almost a third, and a third in terms of the voter registration. So the message has to resonate with everyone. And my job is to go out and talk to people. And trust me, I'm as normal as you can get, having grown up here, Rincon High School and, you know, Pima College, U of A. Mm-hmm. I'm from the district, and I am for this district.
You know, we were talking with Keith Rosenblum on the show Monday. Keith, as you probably know, wants his command. He served as Congressman Colby's aide for a while here. He was the Tucson representative for Colby. And we were talking with Keith about how Colby was so successful in this district because he was a really all-inclusive guy. He was a big tent guy, that he was representing everybody in the district.
Yeah, so Jim was very present. As you've mentioned before, mm-hmm. he was here very often, and he met with people. And in spite of where he fell on the issues, and whether I agreed with him or not on issues, at least I always knew that you had his ear and you could talk to him. I am conservative, and I've never, you know, gone away from that. This is where I am. I'm a Republican. I'm a first generation American, and I'm proud of my background. And I will meet with whoever has an idea or something to say. I will vote my values that line up on the conservative side, and I will always listen. And that's that. Living in a county like this one, or really any county, someone asked me, was there any room that you felt uncomfortable in? And I said, well, I'm a Hispanic first generation Republican that grew up in Pima County. You know, any yeah. room, there's a little bit of difference there of opinion with most people, but I've been able to find common ground and coalesce around that issue. And sometimes it's 10%, sometimes it's 90%, but we always got to find a way to work with everyone. Again, as I line up on the issues, and today we need to get this border crisis under control. This was created by the current administration and the Biden and Pelosi leadership, or lack of leadership. And on the inflation, same way. We can't overspend our way out of this one. And this administration is not changing course. We need to take the House back in 22, add some common sense, and then move on to actually keeping the administration accountable through our checks and balances that our form of government provides.
The pocketbook issue is certainly the paramount issue in this country right now.
The
economy with inflation. A lot of people are hurting right now. There are plenty of job openings, but the way inflation is going, a lot of people are having trouble.
They are. And, you know, when we keep hearing, well, it's temporary, or it's for that reason or another, and we don't see it go away, but actually getting worse and worse every time. As I'm telling you, as a dad of six, you have to buy. A lot of things are up. We talk about gas, of course, 50%, or things like bacon and meat. Mm-hmm. One thing I'm tracking are kids' shoes, Bill. They're up 12%, in case you were wondering. And I'm buying kids' shoes, it feels like, every 2 weeks because of the amount of kids that we have. And that's sort of the size of our family. But people are having, this is hitting them in real time. Mm-hmm. And every time they go to the gas pump, or they go to the store, or they go to get food, they're being reminded of this hidden tax that is inflation on everyone. And it's hitting people, working class families in our district, from all sides of walks of life. And there is a fix here, but it's going to take some immediate change of course.
How about foreign relations? Ukraine war, of course, is the top issue right now. And it's a scary situation.
It is. And my background, as I said, is in trade with Mexico and Canada. North American trade is what I've been focusing on in my entire career, and the value that that brings to our region, both in trade commerce, also in tourism and job creation here. So I'm a you know, big believer in that fair and legal trade across our border. Now, when you look at even overseas, this highlights things that you know that Russia has done over in the invasion of Ukraine. And who they're friends with and the relationship with China and how dependent the U.S. has become on either Russian oil or Chinese manufacturing. So this is where we got to bring things and jobs and our sources back to our country, both in energy independence, but also in manufacturing that Arizona is big on and in partnership with our North American partners.
All right, Juan Siscomani, we're going to let you go. Where can people find out? Do we have a quick call? Maybe we can take a quick call. Juan, slip the headset on there, and I'll see if we can get a quick question in from a listener. Go ahead. Listener, I think it's Kent.
Hey there, Juan. I'm a constituent in your district. I have heard a lot of news about overturning Roe v. Wade. I was just wondering where you stand on those issues.
Well, I'm strongly pro-life. I've mentioned this many times before that, you know, I'm proudly pro-life, and I'm actually living it. I talk about this with six kids, and I definitely want to support pro-life policies. Policies that support women, that support children, that support families in the adoptive system and foster care system as well. And I definitely want to be promoting these kind of policies on the pro-life issue.
Juan, where can people find out more? What's your website?
My website is juansiscomani.com, www.juansiscomani.com. You can find all our information there.
And you turned in all your signatures, so everything's pretty official, right?
We are officially on the ballot, and that was a great thing to get past, and now we're focusing full-time on this August 2nd, the primary.
Okay, Juan Siscomani, good to see you. Thank you, sir.
Thank you so much.
All right, we'll take a break right here. It's the Buckmaster Show midweek edition. We'll talk with the CEO of Big Brothers Big Sisters. They do such a great job in this community. We'll talk with Marie Logan right after this.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the DoubleTree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com. A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is starting to review projects submitted by RTA member jurisdictions for consideration for the next RTA plan. The committee will consider plan goals and performance factors as they move into the selection process. The RTA will seek public feedback on the committee's draft plan when it is ready. Learn more about plan goals and sign up to stay informed at rtanext.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority. At Tucson International Airport, we're nonstop supporting jobs and prosperity as an economic engine for our entire region. From an innovative and touchless passenger experience to earning the GBAC Star Accreditation, the Golden Standard for Cleanliness, our team is ready to welcome you back to Tucson International Airport. Begin your journey with us. We're nonstop for you, Southern Arizona.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. And your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary.
home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, midweek edition. Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico makes such a great springtime getaway, only about a three-hour drive from the Tucson area. And the weather has been just so delightful over in Silver City, like right now, midday, 71 degrees, usually about 10 to 15 degrees cooler than the Tucson area, sometimes as much as 20 degrees. And that's because of the elevation is same as Denver, about a mile high, 5,500 feet, something like that. Southwest New Mexico, spelledout.org, is your go-to place. Before you take the trip, you'll find out about things to do, lots to do there, and some great places to stay. Our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go now on the live line. Marie Logan, the CEO of Big Brothers Big Sisters here in the Tucson area. Marie, how are you?
I'm good. How are you, Bill?
Doing real well. Tell our listeners a little bit about the footprint of Big Brother, Big Sisters here in this community.
Yeah, so Big Brothers, Big Sisters of Southern Arizona. We have been mentoring children, primarily in the Tucson metro area, for almost 50 years. Next year is our anniversary.
Wow.
And each year we mentor in one-to-one relationships anywhere between 400 and 600 kids, and we do that through a variety of different programs. But basically, it all comes down to one adult mentoring a child, spending some time with them, perhaps helping them with some things that they wish to learn about, or the parent guardian would like the mentor to do. And we've been successfully mentoring kids for a long time here in Tucson.
Well, in order for Big Brothers, Big Sisters, the whole concept to work, Marie, you've got to have dedicated volunteers, don't you?
We sure do. Yes. Our volunteers are, you know, the legs and the heart of our organization, because they're the ones that are directly working with the kids every day. And a lot of the work that we do here at the Big Brothers Big Sisters office is recruit volunteers, because we always have a need for more volunteers to work with the kids in our program.
What's your background with Big Brothers Big Sisters? How did you come to the program?
I have been with three different Big Brothers Big Sisters agencies across the country. I've been with Big Brothers Big Sisters for about 25 years now. I've been here in Tucson for 9 years. This is my ninth year. Clearly, I love the organization. It became my career choice when I became a Big Sister many, many years ago, and saw the impact that the program had on families and children and the volunteers.
How does the matchup work, Marie?
Mm-hmm. We through our orientation process and through the introduction process, we get to know our volunteers. And of course, we interview and do child assessments and family assessments for the children that will be in the program. And as they go through this process, we get to know both the child and the volunteer really well. And then we have professionally trained match support specialists that sit down and figure out a good match, a good child and volunteer match. And once we make that match, then we guide the big and the little throughout the life of the match. We set goals for the big and the little, and we communicate regularly with the child and the volunteer and the parents as well, to make sure that it continues to be a good relationship for the child and that we're adhering to child safety standards.
What is the age group we're talking about for the little brothers and little sisters?
We start at age 6, and we go up to age 21 if a child is still going to high school or going on to college. And most often, the earliest age is 9. That's about the average age of our kids.
Is there a commitment for a certain amount of time for the bigs?
Yes, we ask that our bigs make at least a one-year commitment, and that's for the child's sake, because we don't want to introduce a new adult into the child's life and then have that disappear after a couple of months. So we ask for at least a year, preferably 18 months, and the volunteer and the child will see each other a couple of times a month. A couple of hours each time. It's on the volunteer and the child's schedule, whatever, you know, is good for them. And right now, our average match length is about 3 years. So clearly, our volunteers are committed. They stay in the program because they enjoy it and they see the benefits for the child.
And you've seen a lot of lives turned around, I imagine, being with the organization for as long as you have, Marie.
I have. I've been to quite a few high school graduations where the child, it's the first time somebody in the family has graduated from high school. I'm currently matched to a little sister right now, and she's a senior at high school, and she is going on to a four-year university with a full scholarship. So we see wonderful things like that happen all the time. It's a very rewarding program for the volunteers, for me, and for the kids.
We're speaking with the CEO of Big Brothers Big Sisters here in Southern Arizona, Marie Logan. Do you have any idea about the history of Big Brothers Big Sisters? How did the organization come about, Marie? Do you know about that?
I do. It's been nationally over 100 years, and it began with a city court clerk in New York City who noticed that there were a lot of young boys who were coming through the court system for minor criminal acts, like, you know, theft and things like that. And he realized that these kids just did not have the guidance that they needed, that oftentimes they were from single parent families. There was no stable father in the child's life. And that really began the Big Brothers Big Sisters program. He got a couple of his friends together and said, you know what, I think we can make a difference with these kids. And here we are over 100 years later, and it's still going strong.
I bet some of these matchups really last even longer than just the whatever the period, a year up to 3 years, but they almost like a lifetime of keeping in touch.
Yes, yeah, and you know, we've had several volunteer board members that came to us because when they were little, they had a big brother or a big sister, and now all these years later, they tell us that they're still in contact with their big, and they're ready to give back by volunteering for the organization.
All right, and I know you do need volunteers, so what's the best way? Go to the website or what?
Absolutely, go to the website. It is SOAZ Bigs, so that's short for Southern Arizona Bigs, and that's .org, soazbigs.org, and you can find out all kinds of information, and there's a very short form to sign up, and we'll get you started on the road to having your very own little brother or little sister.
Marie Logan, thanks. All the best to you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, that's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of me, Bill Buckmaster, and my buddy Tom Fairbanks, engineering and producing the show, we urge you to stick around for the Dave Ramsey Show right after CBS News. We'll see. I think the big story is the market has had a big recovery. Now, I could be wrong. It might have changed. But it was about 10 minutes ago. I think it was up like 700 points. But we'll see what they say on CBS. Have a great afternoon.